Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by Fretish.com. Fretish is a brand new service that enables you to rent your musical equipment to other local musicians and make money from your instruments while you're not on the road. If you have a collection of guitars, amps, pedals, or other musical kit, why not list it on Fretish and start connecting with musicians just like you? Listings are free and you set the price and conditions of your rental, as well as having full control to reject any rental requests. Check out Fretish.com and start making money from your guitar collection today. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Good afternoon.
Joe Branton.
Yes!
I'm glad that your neighbours are, forgiving of this noise we make every week.
Listen,
specifically Joe Branton.
It's a good job. It's a good job that you guys don't have access to the Guitar Nerds banking details, because you'd be really upset with the fact that I have to buy a bottle of red wine every Monday to give to my neighbours as apology for the fact that Joe Branton's here.
Yeah, because the weeks that he's not here, we obviously don't buy the wine.
We don't need to.
The worst is when I turn up so drunk that I go into their entrance and podcast with them
and drink their wine. So it's been a bit of a weird week. I feel like we're in a kind of a strange time at the moment, because we're like so far away from NAMM that there's not a huge amount of new stuff, and we're quite far away from summer NAMM.
Yes.
So I feel like things are in a bit of a lull.
Yes.
In terms of new releases at the moment. But
I kind of feel like this is the stuff that gets announced now is the stuff that the companies. People wanted to release it at NAMM and it just wasn't ready.
Yeah,
maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So things are trickling out. And one of those, we talked about it quite a lot last week. You finally got your hands, Joe Branton, on the PRS Silver Sky.
The PRS Silver Sky, the most overrated guitar in all time and history, you bunch of absolute morons for getting behind this guitar.
Moron than off,
well,
mate.
Done, listeners. Well,
unless,
done,
unless,
listeners.
Of course, any of Joe's
you
employers
are
listening to this, and then it's the best guitar I've ever made.
It's good. You know, it's good when the general public get behind a guitar like this, because it reminds me of how easy it is to market to stupid people, because this guitar is the ultimate it was all right, it was fine, it was whatever, but like
what's wrong, are you okay?
I've said it a couple of times on the forum when this has come up. It's £2,200 for a poly finish, non-quarter sawn, not figured, not even baked neck.
Joe,
yeah,
I'm gonna have to butt in on this,
because the finish is that PRS.
Let Matt talk.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. I'm just turning Joe off now.
I know loads of people were going on about the price, but then I was looking at loads of competitor guitars today, and actually, it's one of the cheaper ones.
It comes in a soft case for £2,200.
I actually think is unforgivable.
Yeah, I think that is kind of crazy. But
the scratch plate is...
But
it's not
a poly finish, and it's not a nitro finish, but most guitars aren't a nitro finish now. Music Man aren't a nitro finish. And I know you get like a flame neck on some and this, that, and the other.
There's some attention to detail on
for me.
Music Man.
I think it looks kind of cheap, but yeah. I think for most people, I think...
I think
it's
close.
A viable option against some things that are actually seem to be really expensive.
So what else is it up there with? Obviously, there's like Sur and things like that.
Well,
so,
no, Sur and are more expensive than it, but. You know, it is sort of the bottom end of Fender Custom Shop, and also it is around, you know, a Music Man Cutlass price point. And I just think if you want something that's not made by Fender and you want a Strat, surely, like, it seems to be the sort of quiet, you know, member of this sort of lineup of guitars. But the Music Man Cutlass is an absolutely cracking piece of kit.
Definitely.
And I think spec-wise and you know, the colour options, the having that, you know, that baked flamed neck on a Cutlass, I just think it absolutely blows the Silver Sky out of the water.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, though, if you're looking at a Cutlass, you're looking at a much more modern instrument. And I think what this appeals to more than like Sur or companies that are doing a modern Super Strat is this is actually trying to be far more vintage.
You're right. It is modern looking, but yeah, I mean, all you're really talking about here is the neck radius, because everything else about it is modern.
Well, no, because all the pickups and everything are based on his... He's basically modelled his 63 and 64 Strat...
into something a bit more reliable.
Into a PRS, basically. So, I I get why there is some hate, but at the same time, I'm like, actually, I can kind of see the point in it.
You're seeing this the wrong way around already. It's not that there's some hate. The hate is not what came first. The hate is in reaction to so many people getting behind it and... Talking about this whole situation as if PRS have reinvented the Strat. They've done nothing of the sort.
I don't think they have though.
I don't think people are.
I think John Mayer fans have, and all this is putting John them Mayer in their is. Place.
That's the thing. There was a 40-minute Instagram live with John Mayer talking about the guitar from his opinion, and he's quite open and just like, basically, I wanted a Fender, but I'm not a Fenderized, and I play PRS, so I basically made a PRS, you know. And I don't know, I think Mayer fans have kind of gone a bit OTT with it all.
I think it's
probably worse than it actually is.
That's what's ruined this is sort of the Mayer fandom, and come on, this is overrated. Like, don't talk about it as if John Mayer's been humble about this. Who on earth does a live stream to announce a guitar and Paul Reed Smith going around the country doing like announcements at shops? It's a guitar. Like, everyone releases loads of these all the time. 2 years in the design. Oh, it's not 2 years in the design. You are mugging people. It is a Strat copy for a guy whose fans are really creepy and weird, and they will buy anything that he puts out, anything he slaps his name on.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what the next thing Joe Branton gets to be in his bonnet about, because this John Mayer thing has been really fun while it's lasted. But
sorry.
You know, it's just one of those things, isn't it?
Anyway, it's not even PRS's first Strat either, so I don't know why he's getting so annoyed.
I played it. It was perfectly good. It was quite good.
This is the thing. Like, you just
it's
need to
good.
Calm
it's
down.
Quite nice.
It's actually quite good. Did you plug it in?
Yeah. I had a bit of a go on it. The metallic black was quite a nice finish. I did think it looked a little cheap for sort of what it is, for the amount of hype around it, but I don't really like white scratch plates. I'd sooner have like mint or parchment. You know, the white just makes it look
well. I'm
bit,
glad that you've you found the real crux of the issue.
Yeah. The real thumbs up, thumbs down point of the design. You know.
Well, I'm really looking forward to
2 years in design. If they'd only spent another week picking the right scratch plate colour, it'd be the perfect guitar for JB.
I'm really looking forward to next year when PRS announced the Joe Branton signature Silver Sky, which is exactly the same but with a parchment plate.
Yeah, well, I would have been much happier with the guitar if that had been the case. But actually, the radius was super comfy, like having a 7.25. Wow, I didn't realize how
well,
know,
the thing
that
about 7.25 is it's so much better for playing chords. I think the only thing that's weird for me, because I missed obviously the initial podcast when it was announced, is yes, I can't believe it doesn't come in a hard case at that price. However, the Fender signature they did also didn't come in a hard case.
But that was also nowhere near that much money.
It was hard cases.
I think it was about 1800 quid.
I don't think it was that much. I think it was like $14.99 or something.
John Mayer's just really into travelling light.
Doesn't love that hard case. I do think that is pretty criminal, to be honest, to not include a hard case for that money. But
But it was fine. It was fine. Like, if there wasn't all the weird sort of hype about it, maybe if it wasn't John Mayer's, I'd be like, this is fine.
100%, if it wasn't John Mayer's, you would think that this was a great guitar.
No, okay.
You were all about PRS about 5 weeks ago.
I've never been
for
all
five
about
minutes.
PRS.
For no. about 5 minutes. As soon as you were like, oh, I hate PRS now. Oh, guys, have I told you, guys?
Anyway,
have I told you? I hate John Mayer. Have I told you yet? My name's Joe Branton.
I wish that instead of the PRS, he'd gone for that Pink Jackson or Charvel or whatever he was playing for a little while and released that as a signature, because Joe would be so torn.
Conflicted. That was a weird time
pointy,
period.
Pointy, quirky superstrat. Joe's, you know, he's predisposed to like that. Pink, he loves that. John Mayer, ooh, dodgy ground.
Yeah, that would have been tough. But
I think the weirdest choice. I mean, I guess obviously they're going for his strat is that vintage Radius will put so many people off, because I think so many people aren't used to playing that now.
I'm not sure that it will, because I don't think
John Mayer fans know what a Radius is.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think that he is in the same way as maybe someone like someone like Joe Bonamassa. He's kind of a celebrity within the guitar.
He's a brand.
He's absolutely. He is. Him and Joe Bonamassa are kind of the modern day equivalents of like Slash.
Yeah,
I think that they're like the 2010s version of Slash insofar as people will buy the stuff that they put out because they're into the people as much as they are the instruments. I think that's my kind of opinion on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think obviously this guitar is doing very well already and will continue to do well despite Joe Branton's reservations about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw someone put it very, very well on the Guitar Nerds Facebook forum, where someone had obviously missed all of this and was just sort of like, well, what is the deal with this guitar? And someone answered that by saying, John Mayer's released a PRS Strat. John Mayer fanboys have gone googly. Everyone else saw it and went, it's a Strat. Headstock looks naff.
And Joe Branton has stirred up extreme vitriol against it
it's
down.
Not me.
Matt Knight, did you receive any new pedals this week?
I did. I bought a Origin FX Cali 76 Compact Deluxe Compressor, which I didn't plug in this evening because I ran out of time.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about this brand. I keep seeing them pop up, and I don't know that much about them.
The heaviest weight pedals, and probably like the best built pedals I think I've ever come across.
It is an incredible. They're all hand built in
California,
in Oxfordshire.
Oh, okay.
No, it's called the Cali 76 because it's based on a 1176 valve compressor, which is a really famous studio compressor.
Oh wait, the brand is Origin FX, isn't it? Sorry, I was thinking the brand is Cali. Yeah, okay.
And this is a kind of what they've called the deluxe version, because it's actually got parallel compression, so you can blend in dry signal. You've got in and out volume, and then the little LED in the middle also works as the kind of gain reduction meter. So it's three different colours. So the harder you hit it, the LED changes. Which okay, it's really nice. But it's a really solid, really well built piece of kit. But loads of people have been playing them. I've tried one before. Our friend Mr. Steve Burrows has about 5 of them.
I've seen them pop up on loads of people's pedal boards at the moment.
Yeah, I see them all the time.
I saw Philippa Q's got one on her board at the moment.
It's a really good, solid, clean compressor that does everything from like super squash to kind of just make gooder, I guess.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I just thought I'd give it a go. I really want a compressor. Don't really want to fork out thousands of pounds for a high-end valve compressor, and I wanted something different than a Boss compressor.
How much are they?
They are £269. Ooh. Not that I paid £269 for it.
Sure. you know, industry insider and all that. You know, it's just
they heard that I wanted to buy one. They were like, well,
getting the deals.
Just, you know, we'll make one for you, and that's why it's called the Matt Knight 76 Deluxe.
What else do they do? What else do Orange make?
They actually just make until about 2 weeks ago, they just made various compressors.
Okay.
And so they started off with one called the Slide Rig, which was a dual limiting amplifier for slide players. And then they moved into various versions of this 76 compressor. But they've just released, and I don't think we talked about it on a previous podcast, they just released a new overdrive that's got 28 controls on it.
What?
Yeah, 28 different controls.
All on the front.
£700, I think.
Crikey.
What's it called?
It's a mixture of, let me see if I can find it, and I can, it's called the Revival Drive.
Okay.
So it's two button, what they call ghosting overdrive for unabridged amp tone. So they claim that they've basically built an amplifier in a box that you can still run in line like a normal drive, effectively. Okay. So that it's the same, it's basically like a preamp, I guess, in a sense, in a pedal.
Yeah.
But there's controls on where the jacks go in. There's like little switches up there. Then there's on the base of the pedal, if you imagine where a foot switch would, behind the foot switch on like the front, I guess, there's more controls on there. Then there's 12 different knobs, 6 different switches, and then 5 micro knobs, 2 LEDs, 1 giant LED, and then 2 foot switches.
That's crazy.
All off a standard 9-volt.
Really? So it's basically like a drive workstation, isn't it? You know, we've had...
Yeah, I guess. It's got loads of different... I mean, some of the controls on it, like preamp, different bright caps, dry gain, high shelf, mid-level, mid-cut, different capacitance levels, highs, lows. Yeah, I mean, it's literally everything. But yeah, it's called the Revival Drive. They announced it, a couple of weeks ago. I think it's nearly £700, and you can buy an optional foot switch that gives you more control over that as well.
But only 2 extra options on the optional foot switch: blend, override, and mid engage.
I guess that's so that, you know, if you've got all those options on there, but you're mid set, do you know what I mean? You're not going to bend down and tweak everything.
It looks amazing, I must admit. And considering the build quality of this, I'm sure it's going to be amazing. And they're all handmade as well. Yeah. So it's going to be amazing. But the 2 stages are valve rectifier and silicon rectifier.
So
I'd love to try one. But I mean, when you get to that price, you know, although I've been proved wrong before when I worked at Anderton's and we sold the Van Wilden overdrive, which was £600. And we were doing maybe 1 a day at one point. I was like, well, but then again, it had Joe Bonamassa's name kind of behind it as well, so maybe that sort of helped it along.
I do think there's a market for that, because obviously, you know, there's people out there who have got 6 or 7 different drive pedals or 6 or 7 different fuzz pedals. Why not just have one that does everything?
You just run a really clean amplifier and you want drive but you can't find to drive maybe in an amp, then that's kind of an ideal situation.
Yeah.
And it reminds me similar of the old Hughes and Kettner drive stations that used to have like valves in and
what was that called, the Drive Master or something?
I think there was like Tube Tone, I can't remember, there was a whole bunch of them. But it's worth having a read on this Origin one, because they're talking about ghosting, which is like the overtone, the over notes that you get when you play a real amp that's driving, and that most drive pedals don't do that, and they've kind of built in a way that it actually physically reacts. But it's actually, I was having a quick look, one thing I forgot, it's got a built-in reactive load. So the idea is they've built a load into it, so it's like driving a real speaker, and then it feeds that out of the output.
What would you do with that? How would you plug, how would that
still run it? I guess you'd run it at the end of your signal chain.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like the last stage. But the weird thing is there's no loop. So
there's no direct out either, is there?
No, so I guess you'd put delays after it, but you'd put other drives or compressors or something before it.
Wow. Starting to get complicated.
So I guess it's in the middle of your chain. Maybe we should drop him an email and be like, why don't we come up and visit?
Can you tell us how this works? Because we don't understand it.
How this works.
Tell us.
I mean, it's one of these companies where the guy who's the lead designer, I've watched a couple of videos of him talking about the compressor, and you can just tell that he's not really a player, although he can play, but he's definitely some sort of like science genius.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm just... Because I didn't realise the guy that makes Hamster amps isn't a guitar player.
Right, okay.
He's an aircraft engineer that went, I could probably build an amp.
Right, okay.
And was like, well, I can see all the faults that people are probably building into amps, so I'll just like use science and technology, I mean, and just build around it.
That's not that wild, though. I mean, think about, you know, Leo Fender wasn't a guitar player.
No, that's true.
Jim Marshall, not a guitar player. You know, I don't know if Cliff Cooper was a guitar player either. I think he just because Orange, I think, was just an electronic shop to begin with.
I don't know if he was a guitar
player.
That's
my understanding. I think a lot of these people, they come to this from a weird angle, and when you're an engineer, you've sort of got this. Well, I can build that. I'll just do it, and then you do it, and it's like, oh yeah, well, that was really good.
That's how we've been doing it wrong the last 15, 20 years, is that we should have actually never bothered playing guitar, but realised that there's big potential in the guitar market, and just done like some sort of like technology degree.
Well, I mean,
just built gear instead.
We do this podcast, and I barely have time to play guitar anyway.
True,
so
that's true. Yeah, we have kind of found our own niche like that.
Yeah,
true.
We just tell people what they should play instead of actually playing it ourselves.
Yeah, easy.
Listen, do as I say, not as I do. Please don't start a podcast. We can't keep up with the competition.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of competition. really, really tough. But we are the world's number one guitar podcast, and that means
that is what it says at the start.
We bring you the world's number one guitar.
No, because there's still more new stuff. We got more pedals delivered this week.
Why didn't you write that on the list?
Well,
then?
I was going to talk about it.
That was such a good segue as well.
It was an okay segue. I do agree. But yeah, we received another package from AWOL.
Yeah, pedals. Of course. I forgot about this.
Yeah, in the States. So Aaron Wall, who owns AWOL.
That is an amazing name.
It's great, isn't it?
I mean,
that's really
incredible.
Solid. It's a great name. Anyway, I didn't know anything about AWOL pedals until I started talking to Aaron, who everyone calls AWOL. So it's sort of his name as well as... I was uncomfortable calling someone AWOL because it sounds like an insult. but anyway, yeah, I was speaking to him online, and because I was trying to make a mini board last week of all the mini pedals that I had on like a pedal train nano. And he was like, I make the world's smallest clean boost. I'll send it to you. So a couple of days later, I asked him if it was smaller than a boiled sweet, which
it's definitely not smaller than a boiled sweet.
Which he probably didn't know what you meant.
He didn't. Yeah, so he looked it up, and then
like glazed candy or whatever they call it.
In the large box that had this tiny pedal, because he sent a load of American sweets with it. So there was loads of stuff. I mean, you know, it's
all gone now, is what you're saying.
It's mostly stuff we have here. It's like Skittles and Oreos. Okay. I love how America think we're still sort of in the 50s, you know.
Also, none of it's vegan. So why didn't you bring it here and why am I not eating it right now?
Oreos are vegan, mate. But
Skittles aren't.
But yeah, Skittles are, mate. Yeah,
they used to have shellac in, they don't anymore.
Okay.
But anyway, in amongst those things was the Nano Clean Boost, which is absolutely the smallest effects pedal I've ever seen. It's so tiny that the single rotary control for the Clean Boost is on the top of the pedal rather than the front. So the Nano Clean Boost can only just about fit the actual foot switch on the front of it. But it's a really cool, really super clean, very loud boost in like a metallic black in a very fetching color as well, but it's super cool and it's going to be making its way onto our board.
I don't really understand how there's enough room for all the stuff in there, because there seems to be barely enough room for the two jacks to go in there and the switch.
Yeah,
like where's the electronics?
Is it really tall?
That's right.
One of those upright pedals.
Yeah. I reckon there's nothing in there, and it's the buffer especially. I reckon there's nothing in there.
It's just shaped like a pack of Rolos.
No, it's just been done. It's been done because us as guitar players now are so convinced that stuff can be made better. It's actually empty.
The two jack pipes are just wired together.
Completely. Yeah, that's what I reckon.
Genius.
Talent booster.
I tell you, one of the things that I like about this company, if you go on their website, it shows you the four pedals that they currently do. It's the Nano, which I assume is the Clean Boost. Then there's the Buffer, a Favorite Switch, which...
Probably is built for the Strymon stuff.
I guess so. And then a Dual Tap Tempo, which is in a rather fetching, very strange. It's in a kind of dark green sparkle. Goodness knows where they got that idea for a delay. But anyway, one of the things I like about them is that...
I assume that isn't actually a delay. I assume it's a tap tempo to work with delay pedals.
I suppose so, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I
hence
suppose.
The dark green sparkle.
Yeah, of course, to bosh it in next to... Yeah. So that you can use...
A carbon copy.
Exactly. Yeah, very smart. One of the things I like about them, though, is that the inputs and outputs are all in different places. So I reckon you could make a really tiny... You could probably fit them all into the size of a like cigarette packet.
Yeah.
They're so... like. there's your small board, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I could... that's a great idea.
Just go and buy a pack of cigarettes and... attach some Velcro to it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Is that everything that we had delivered this week that you want to talk about?
Why not? I also got, there's a Tweed Fender Blues Junior at my house at the moment.
Nice.
That's very good. It's not mine, but I'm going to keep it.
I don't know what that means. Probably should move on, I reckon, and hit people in the face with a big old glove loaded with what we like to call
news.
The news. First up, Gibson have announced a brand new signature model for Vivian Campbell.
Vivian Westwood.
who's going to give us the rundown? Matt Knight.
I will. Vivian Campbell. All right, hands up. Didn't actually know who Vivian Campbell was. I'm sure a lot of people out there do, and judging by some of the comments I've seen, people are quite excited about this man. Played with Dio a lot with Def Leppard since 1992, I think.
The current Def Leppard guitar player.
Yeah.
Yeah, the current Def Leppard. Yeah, he is actually still the current Def Leppard guitar player. He did some, well... They say with Whitesnake, but as far as I can tell, he played on an 88 mix of a song called Give Me All Your Love. I don't know how much that
classes
as a
play. Give me all your loving. That's Kiss, isn't it?
Close.
No, I've absolutely no idea. I didn't realise that you were singing anything.
I think it's Kiss.
No, it's ZZ Top.
ZZ Top, yeah. Not Kiss, ZZ Top.
But surprisingly, Vivian Campbell actually did play with... Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that was where I was coming from, yeah.
That's the real quiz.
So yeah, Gibson have announced the Vivian Campbell signature Les Paul Custom. Now, I hadn't seen this before you guys gave me the news before we started the podcast, and I'm going to go out there and say I don't actually think it's that bad.
So Mark and I were talking about this beforehand, and every aspect about this guitar I in general don't like. So it's kind of Silverburst, although they're calling it black and grey. It's a Les Paul Custom, which I'm not a big fan of. It's got a heavy flame, which I'm not a big fan of, and it's got open coil pickups, which I'm not a big fan of.
I don't mind it.
Really?
I must admit, like, the kind of silver grey burst I'm into, maybe slightly less of the heavy flame. I love the open pickups. I've always liked the two white, because that's like the rarest combination of open coil Gibson pickups you can get on the old 50s ones. I think it's got a chrome switch tip, though, by the photo,
yeah,
which I'm not 100%
on. Yeah, I'm
sure
not into
on.
That.
But it's got a 70s, it's like, it's based on a 70s Les Paul, which the 70s Les Pauls that I've played have all been like pretty heavy and pretty terrible.
Bad. Very bad,
yeah,
I think, are the words you're looking for, Matt.
Especially if you end up with one of the sandwich ones that's like maple, mahogany maple, and it weighs about 50 pounds. High output passive humbuckers, all satin chrome parts, which I can kind of get behind because they'll probably relic like relatively easy if you play it a lot. Kidney bean Grover tuners, which is nice because it'll be better than the kind of vintage style ones. Damasio pickups, if you know, because you want more high gain. The only thing is, I mean, it's once again, it's that Gibson custom price point, so you know, $6,000, and it's one of those things. And I know we said it before when we did the Patreon a couple months ago on it. It's like, if this guitar was $2,500, I'd be really tempted. Actually, I think it's a really cool looking guitar, but they're just obviously pushing a lot of the custom stuff out. So.
Yeah,
despite not knowing who the man is, I actually think it's an incredibly cool looking guitar. But unfortunately for most people, I think the price is a little unobtainable.
The amount of custom shop stuff they're cranking out at the moment is really surprising.
Well, it isn't just really surprising. It just seems like
it's a bad
they're
idea.
Just trolling everyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's because people were just getting madder and madder and madder about the whole thing. It's very weird. Yeah. But, you know.
Oh, and it's a five-piece neck profile, which I guess is down to the 70s, because they're not normally that, are they?
No.
Customs. It's normally sort of, so it's five-piece maple walnut neck.
Yeah, so that is proper 70s.
That's really 70s.
Wow, this is a very odd choice. And to be charging $6,000 for it is just, yeah, very, very weird.
I guess, you know, it's that or the Chinese New Year, Les Paul. You know, what are you going to
go for? Which two are you going to pick, Matt? You know, which one are you going to pick out of the two, you know? The year of the dragon is
it?
Year of the dog.
It's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those ones. That guitar is going to be like the time the guy went, "I've got something special for you. Can you value this for me?" and pulled out the Harrods Les Paul.
Yeah,
it's like it's just worth nothing. It's kind of like it's worth what you paid for it that time ago.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now it's kind of like you've got to find someone who's desperately into that guitar. Where this, I can kind of get behind this guitar and actually seeing it from the front rather than kind of the angle shot that Gibson had on there. So I actually kind of like this guitar. I just think it's a shame that their prices are what they are. And also the fact that, yeah, that everyone's going, Gibson are closing, and they're like, no, we're still kicking out all the custom shops. It's fine.
All the custom
but
shops.
But they only make 50 a day. So, I mean, they're not making like hundreds of this guitar.
I mean, at the same time, there's not probably hundreds of people who actually want to buy this guitar. I think it's going to be quite a limited audience.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I know when we were at Music Man, they were saying that they basically build to order. They only make the guitars they need to make.
Yeah.
Which is why there were so many John Petrucci guitars being made at the time.
People love the JP.
And I don't know whether Gibson kind of do the same, or whether they just like, oh, we're doing this run now, so we're going to build a bunch of these, and then that's that. I guess you could probably always order one.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But yeah, I don't think they're going to be making loads of these.
No,
which
no,
in a way
no.
is kind of cool.
Joe, talking about guitars from the 70s,
yes,
has reminded me of something that Jay and I went into Brighton yesterday and did a bit of a walk around, and a local guitar shop that is not yours has got a Rickenbacker 4001S.
Yeah, I've already seen it.
In black.
Yeah, ejector, yeah. Did you see what the price was?
It was POA, I think, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it wasn't. It was like $16,999 or $17,999.
No, I can't remember.
No, the other stuff in there was POA.
Oh, maybe
right.
That was $2,000.
Yeah, maybe it was like $19,999.
I think it was $2,000.
Right, yeah. Andy Baxter, bass.com, has
free
a,
ad there, little free.
A 4003S up in Jet Glow for $17,999.
Yeah, but this is a 4001.
Oh, it's a 4001.
Yeah, it's the real deal.
Oh, that might be worth the extra £200.
Yes.
I might go in and have a chat, because I was thinking about chopping in a couple of other bits as well.
Yeah, I've got this Tweed Blues Junior. Yeah. What's this?
Do you know what? I've actually cracked my 60s reissue jazz bass back out this week.
The one that you've had for ages.
The one that you had refinished. No, that was precision.
The Precision. Yeah.
This one was the Mexican. It was the limited edition Mexican 60s one that came in a nitro three color sunburst. And I swapped out the torque guard for a black guard, and I bought the appropriate plates for it, so the pickup cover and the bridge cover. And I'm gonna restring it with flats probably tonight, and I might start using that a bit. I'm quite into it.
What about the Steinfeld?
Well, I still use that as well, but you know, man's got to play in different tunings.
Yeah, they don't really, but yeah, okay, we'll roll with that. We'll roll with that. But yeah, I just wanted to let you know there is a nice 4001. Oh, it looked nice. I didn't try it, but
yeah, I did walk past the other day at a distance and saw it and was like, ooh. But I was with the GAC managing director, so I
probably not time to duck in. Yeah. Do you mind if I just anyway? Yeah. More.
I'm going to talk about this on my podcast later.
Yeah. I'll even give away someone else's web address. So and say PRS guitar.
Speaking of PRS guitars,
indeed.
Are we moving on to this week PRS have announced another limited run of SEs, which they're sort of want to do at the moment. They're sort of bang into their limited run SEs. Of course, they had great success with the Exotic series.
Yeah.
When they did a load of different woods, sort of like weird sort of mahogany tops and like zebra wood tops in like a massive range of SEs for, you know, £800, and they were super popular. They absolutely flew out because it was an opportunity for people to have a limited edition pretty good PRS for not a lot of money, and they have done it again here with these. So we've now got a they're a satin quilt stealth finish, so kind of like a,
it's black,
well it's not because it's kind of gray because it's heavily quilted tops, but it's totally cool, and they've done the same thing again, so it's like a complete range. So there's like custom 22s, 24s, they're even doing a lefty, they're doing a seven string, a baritone, a semi hollow, a Tremonti, a Zach Myers, Zach Myers, yeah. So there's a huge range of guitars there. Oh, and a Floyd. They're doing a 24 with a Floyd as well. So they're kind of doing everything in this cool like satin black finish. And it's a great idea because it's PRS doing metal guitars basically for £800. And I kind of think, you know, at that sort of price point, with the quality that we know is coming out of Korea, you know, with those PRS SEs, it's like, man, for that sort of money, I think Ibanez, ESP, you know, Schecter, all those brands have kind of got to watch themselves a bit, because PRS have absolutely nailed build quality at the moment, and to do a series of really metal, kind of modern metal guitars.
I really like the Zach Myers. I think that hollow body single cut,
yeah,
in stealth black, with, because I don't really like the uncovered pickups, but it does seem to work on that one. I think on the standard SE Customs.
Yeah.
Sometimes those like plasticky black uncovered pickups look a little cheap.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think the baritone's the one for me that really works in that series.
It's
kind of got a bit of the sort of Rabea signature model vibe about it. But I just think for £800, this is an absolutely cracking range.
Like, ebony board as well on these.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, this will be a CITES thing.
Yeah.
I'm into that Zach Myers in a big way.
Yeah, these are great.
Like, that's the best guitar they make across all the ranges. 100%, you know, the regular finish is fine. They did, I think, an exotic wood of that, and obviously now they're doing the quilt stealth. And I just think it's the best one every time.
I can't see shops sort of being able to keep stock of these. The same that thing happened with the exotics. It's the opportunity to own a rare PRS for not very much money in the scheme of PRS costs.
Yeah.
I don't get this at all. You know how when we were talking about that Gibson, I was saying that I'm not normally into the sort of black and silver burst. I'm not normally into uncovered pickups.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why. I don't get it, these guitars.
Oh, no. I don't like these.
The quilting as well is just...
Oh, quilt is awful. It's so tasteless.
That's what your band does.
No, we don't tap. We're not tasteless.
On some of these, though, I think it's better than others. Again, like the Zach Myers, I think looks nicer. I'm with Matt. On the standards and the customs, I don't think it looks as nice. The uncovered pickups, the quilt and stuff. Yeah. But some of them I just think works really, really well.
It's not my thing. I just think the look of these guitars is exceptional for the price tag that comes with
it. It's definitely something different for the price, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Talking about stealth black guitars, Jay, you've been looking at the new Solar Guitars Patrick Jensen signature model. This is obviously the kind of brainchild of Ola England under his Solar branding, and their first, I guess, signature model that isn't an Ola England guitar.
I'm not sure, is that true?
Oh, really?
It's basically he's moved the Solar... Because I saw Ola England actually did a video on the other day and said... Because people have been saying, well, surely everything's an Ola England signature because you've got the Ola logo on it. And he's like, I've basically detached myself from the Ola logo and made that the Solar logo, which is my brand.
Yeah.
But everything's just a Solar guitar. It's
I
not.
See.
Right,
I see.
Okay.
So technically, it comes from the same style and body shape as his Washburn.
Yes.
Solar guitar. But so, they're not technically Ola England signatures.
Right, okay. So this Jensen, so he is a Swedish metal geezer.
Well, he's in Ola's band.
Is he?
Yeah, he's okay. The other guitarist.
Right,
in the
okay,
Haunted.
That makes sense. So he, yeah, in The Haunted, and Witchery is the other band that he's in. Which
they love it, don't they?
I've not heard.
The Nordic metal types, they love it.
So the...
I wonder if he uses an HM2 heavy metal.
Send him
bring
one.
It back, bring it back, Matt. Bring it back. So the Jensen is the Type E shape, which is one of the Solar sort of standard shapes.
I wonder what that's based on.
I think it's egg.
Okay. Electric.
I think
guitar.
The E stands for egg.
Okay.
So unfortunately, Joe and I wouldn't be able to demo this if it came out.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not vegan.
No. Also, by the looks of things, they might have already been sold out.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Or maybe they're just not available yet. I'm not sure. When I looked on one page, it did say sold out, but that may just be that they don't have any in stock yet.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But it's a grand, €1,000, which seems like a lot of money, but it's cheaper than a couple of the other Type E models that are on the site at the moment. 8185s, so you know what you're going to get. You get that sort of precise metal tone. All in all, I think it's quite a nice looking guitar.
The inlays are super interesting.
Yeah, there's
that's my favourite bit.
There's a lot going on there. It looks like these sort of ripples that are jumping out.
Yeah, the inlays are from the 12th fret where the Ola logo is.
Yeah.
The ones that go towards the first fret are kind of curved out towards the first fret, and the ones that go towards the body are kind of curved. It looks like the Zakk Wylde finish, you know, on there. The kind of
fretboard,
the circular Zakk Wylde finish, but yeah, on the fretboard.
Yeah, but
in regards to the sold outs on their website, I think if I remember rightly, they only build each guitar in a certain run.
Right. Okay.
And then they basically sell that run, and then they build another run of guitars.
Okay. Right.
And I think they're built in World Guitars.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. It's a Swampash body, ebony board. These look quite cool. They've got a kind of offset Explorer vibe going on. If you've not seen the Type
E's, there are
a
few more contours on that. That top.
Also, I quite like the headstock, which is often the downfall to a lot of the sort of metal brands from my perspective.
That's the headstock that he took straight from Washburn.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, there must be some changes.
I reckon he owns the design, because I think, although I don't know 100%, I reckon he designed it and outsourced the actual body design, and then probably when it ended with Washburn, he took the design.
Yeah, That
sounds likely, doesn't it? Because, these are obviously so similar to the Washburn Solars. Matt, that sounds like you've got an alarm going off in your house.
Yeah, that's Amy is cooking fire.
yes.
As long as it's not a burglar alarm.
Matt, if you need to leave at any point, you know, if your house starts burning down, just grab the Valentine, grab the Les Paul, forget about the cat, and just leg it.
I think it's Aurora Borealis.
Localized entirely in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Matt, tell us about another bit of news from this week. JHS Pink Panther is now the Lucky Cat Delay.
Yes, the mega studio that is MGM have sent their lawyers in to basically cease and desist the use of the Pink Panther name.
It was only a matter of time, surely.
Yeah, it definitely was only a matter of time. And actually, they've been selling it as the Lucky Cat Delay in Japan for almost a year now. So yeah, basically JHS got the cease and desist from MGM Studios. You can no longer use Pink Panther name or likeness on your pedal. So they have moved to the Japanese version, which is the Pink, the Lucky Cat Delay, which now comes in a fetching black as well.
Oh, really?
It was quite nice. Yeah. Yeah. So it comes in pink and all black, which seems to be the trend at the moment. Keeley seems to have done nearly all of his pedals in like a stealth black, which is basically black with black text. So like, yeah, like a matte black with like a really shiny black text. But yeah, so no longer. So if you've got one of those Pink Panther delays, store them, because maybe one day they'll be worth loads of money.
I don't know if that will be the case, because there are so many of those.
I think we've got collectively, we've got two of them.
Yeah, I'm sure they made a lot.
Yeah, I think so too.
Probably not. But yeah, so they've basically no change to the actual model, just the name and the extra finish.
One other bit of pedal news from this week. Dwarfcraft Devices have released the Ghost Fax Phase Computer. Matt, this also sounds like something that you would know about.
Yeah, well, anything with a ridiculous name. So Dwarfcraft Devices, the company that makes some of the most ridiculous pedals, and one of my favourite pedals I've seen being used this year, the Razor, which is their granular sampler delay. This is, I guess, in a way, slightly more normal. It's a phaser with two different modes. Well, technically two different standard modes, I guess, like what they call standard phaser or manual phaser, where you can actually like manually sweep the actual phase control. Then envelope mode, which is not something completely new, but basically you've got an envelope up or down, so the phase moves with your pick tap like an auto wah. But it goes between 2-pole or 32-pole phasing. So 32-pole phasing is like a ridiculous amount of phasing, so you can get some really crazy in-depth sounds. And there's also like a bunch of hidden menus inside as well for extra control, loads of expression control, and then you get presets, which I think is quite cool. So it's one of those where it's a fairly in-depth pedal, so you kind of want to be able to save a couple of your sounds in there as well. But they reckon it covers everything from normal, which is not something that Dwarfcraft always do, to something that goes what they say, phaser enthusiasts to audio adventurers. So I think kind of nice if you want a phaser that does a little bit more than your just kind of standard Phase 90. Those sounds definitely in there. To me, I really like the envelope sounds, because I had a Pigtronics phaser for a little while that did the same thing, and their tremolo did a similar thing as well, which is just makes it more responsive to pick attack, which makes it much nicer for lead work. Sometimes a phase can be kind of really overpowering. And then you've also got completely wet or completely dry as well. So there's a really nice sort of blend control on there as well.
Looks like there's way too much for me for a phaser. I like a small stone or something where you've got one control, or a Phase 90, where it's just like nothing on it. But as you say, for audio adventurers, this looks like it might do the business.
The thing is, talking of small stone, obviously I spend a lot of time on eBay, and I wish I'd bought some of the old 90s Electro-Harmonix pedals in wooden boxes, because some of them now, including the terrible Russian Big Muff that came out in the 90s, are going for like £200.
That is absolutely nonsensical.
Which Russian Big Muff? The black box one.
Do you remember the black one that came in the wooden box? That's the one that the last one they did before it was discontinued. Some of the phasers.
I've got one of those wooden box ones. What one have I got? I've got the small stone.
What one have I got?
Yeah. So, I mean, some of those are going for £100-150.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, they cost nothing back in the day. They were like £49.
And they're actually
you know, they sound great. That's why I'm keeping it
unreliable.
Yeah, that's
because they're only pressed steel cases that tend to bend, which means the foot switch moves when you also step in it quite hard, which means the foot switches break all of the time.
Yeah, you often see people posting up pictures on Instagram stuff of them where they've just put their entire foot through an Electronics bent steel box. Yeah, they're not the longest lasting of pedals, which is maybe why they're going for £200 each.
Yeah, maybe they've just all been destroyed.
Yeah, maybe. Time. Maybe. We should do, before the podcast wraps up, a couple of...
Questions!
We don't do questions enough, clearly, because you've forgotten how to do it.
I didn't know what the segue was. You were looking at me like I was supposed to be saying something. I was like, I have no idea what he's doing. We're normally finished now.
No, it's normally odd when we actually want you to say something, because
questions.
Most times it'd be better if you just shut up.
I feel like before we just go on, we should just. I don't know if it's going to be making it through to the microphones, but there appears to be a child having a monstrous tantrum in the flat below me.
Oh,
so
is that what it
I
is?
I think so. Yeah, I thought it was some feedback or something.
See. But no, I was getting freaked out about how just in case your anybody, girlfriend was in the next
yeah,
room.
Yeah, well, completely. Yeah. In case anybody can hear anything, we're not, you know, there's nothing nefarious going on here.
We don't traffic people.
Think time we move on. Russ says, I have a weird/silly question for you all. I'm about to have two electric guitars that I intend to gig with. For you nerds that have multiple guitars, how do you distribute time equally without feeling like you're wasting one of them? I know this is ridiculous, but it genuinely concerns me. Now, Matt Knight, we can see you on your webcam, and I can see six guitars in the shot there.
Oh, yeah.
Is that all of them?
That is all of them, actually, yeah. Which is funny, because I should post them on Facebook, really, but I've somehow managed to recover all of the photos of all the gear that I've pretty much had since about 2002. And whoa, I've got a picture of my rig, which has only got one guitar, one electric guitar and one acoustic. And I was like, how did I survive?
How do you decide what to play, and how do you make it feel like you're not wasting the guitars that you've got there?
Well, the problem is, I bought a Music Man, and now I feel like I'm wasting all my other instruments.
I mean,
honestly, I can't play anything else but that Music Man.
I noticed that the Pink Les Paul hasn't had much of a run recently.
Can I have that one if you don't want it anymore?
I love all of my... Actually, the ones on the wall, which are my Baja Tele, my modded Baja Tele, my Les Paul and my Music Man are the ones I play the most. I haven't played my Gibson SG for ages, and I did play my Strat yesterday, but as I said earlier when we were talking about the Silver Sky, I can't get on with that 7.25 radius, but it's an original 80s pink Paisley Strat, so I can't bear to
I mean, if you want to sell that one, mate, you know, you can keep it in the family.
Absolutely not. Although I love the thing I do love about the neck is that it's only worn on five different frets on the G string and then an A shape.
Yeah. I remember when you bought that when it got when it came into the shop, and I think that Matt was just lucky that he was the person that was dealing with the buy-in, because otherwise
I opened the case and I think my jaw hit the floor and I just went and it was one of those times I was like, look, I'm gonna have to be honest, I just want to buy this guitar from you. And she was like, oh right, how much do you want? And I was like, look, I'll give you this much for it cash, which is slightly more than we would have given you for the store. And she was like, okay. And I was like, I don't want to rip you off, I just want to be honest, I want this guitar. And I love it, I do absolutely love it, but I just don't love it as much as my Music Man right now.
That is a hard thing to get over, isn't it?
It is very difficult. I think when you've got, I mean,
sell me your Pink Les Paul.
Never.
That guitar, I'd swap you the Les Paul for the 175.
No.
That's
although
a good trade.
I do love a good 175.
I wouldn't do that.
I prefer Joe's 175 to that Pink Les Paul, I've got to admit, Matt. Sorry.
It's funny, though, isn't it? Because I've got a humbucker in the Music Man, and it covers those kind of neck humbucker tones that's on the Les Paul. And a 175 is dead cool, but I can't... Get the 175 refinned in pink by Graham. Well, so it's a nitro finish. And I tell you what, we'll talk.
Well, speaking of refins, you know what's sitting on my desk?
No,
the orange,
the Gibson Memphis 2016 ES335 trackpad combo in Tascam orange.
Why is it a trackpad? Is that the name of the interface, mate?
Yeah. So I opened the cardboard box, which is orange. I went and found it in the warehouse, and it was like it was behind some racking in a corner, like covered in dust. And I found the orange box.
When did it come out?
2016.
Wow.
I'm surprised we never covered this at the time.
Me too. Me too. Anyway, like, it's...
In a way, though, I'm not surprised we never didn't cover this because it's a Tascam signature model Les Paul.
It was 3,000 pounds.
I tell you what.
It was three grand when it came out, and it's 2 grand now.
If this had come out, if this had come out whilst Matt or I were working in the shop, we would have seen that come in straight away, and we would have gone, Tascam orange, that is bonkers. Let's open it. Basically, the exact reaction that I've done.
Yeah, but it's now so. I opened it and like, because it's a really long box, and I was like, why is this box so long? And I opened it and realised it was because packed on top of the case in there are the headphones, microphone, and interface that you get that are all also orange in some way, not like completely orange. They have like an orange line through them. These Tascam sort of weird bits, and there's like a copy of Cakewood, which I think was once a software package.
Which, which I think is now discontinued. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the interface is also now out of date.
Yeah. Cakewalk is back. It was bought by Bandlab, who are a Chinese company.
It was actually a Roland company.
It was Roland, Gibson bought them, and then now they rest in the hands of Bandlab.
I had really hoped that
third-hand company.
Yeah.
I had really hoped that the hard case would sort of match up with everything else as well, but it is just the 2016 hard case, so the brown leather with the grey interior. Yeah. So I got that out, and now it's at my desk. It's so good. It's so good. It's so orange. But, you know, it's slightly through, like you can see the wood grain through it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's an absolute banger. I think we should buy it.
Is it the track pack 2x2? Is that
no? Well, I don't know. It's called the ES335 track pack combo. I mean, if you type 335 Tascam into Google, I'm pretty sure it's.
I love the fact that I was just actually having a look. So the Tascam track pack 2x2 is a complete recording solution that comes with a microphone stand, headphones, and interface.
Yeah,
I think it comes with the microphone as well.
Yeah,
yes, it does. It's only 170 quid.
I can almost guarantee that the headphones in there cost about £4, the ones they've included.
It's still a Memphis 335.
Oh,
like,
sure.
It's still like burst buckers. And...
Just a weird thing to throw in, though. Just a cheap interface and some like bad headphones and stuff like that.
It's pretty weird. But it's an amazing colour.
It is a cool-looking guitar. I'm so into that. I think as a colour... It reminds me of Capri Orange.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like the Capri
Nick,
Orange.
who works at GAC, had a...
You're talking about the sort of Jaguar
Tornado.
Tornado, yeah.
No, it's not.
Tornado.
It's not. It was
Cyclone.
Fender shape, officially.
Oh, Cyclone was so good.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a mixture of two different body shapes. But
right.
Fender never actually did... like a version of it, I guess. And he had it finished in Capri Orange and it looked really, really good.
Didn't he have a Telemaster?
Telemaster, that's the one. And that
was now the offset telly.
Like a custom shop one.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a production run, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, his wasn't a Fender. It was just a...
I think it was just a Warmoth.
Yeah.
Rob says, Matt, Rob says, Matt, where are those Boss pedal mugs from?
Well, if I knew where they were from, I would definitely own some. Basically, there was a piece of merch that Boss made about 10, 15, probably about 15 years ago, if not maybe slightly longer. And I think they made a whole bunch of them and they never went anywhere. And I don't think anyone wanted them the times before social media. And rumour has it that there was a bunch at Roland UK about 3 years ago, which they all sold on eBay for like 20 quid. And they've never been seen since. That's it. They're just gone. The only ones I've ever seen is the ones that we put on Instagram, which is our most liked photo on Instagram. And it went like, everyone put it up. It got hundreds of thousands of likes, like, all these people that reposted it. They're two in Scandinavia, and I've seen some in the Roland Museum, and they're the only ones I've ever seen.
There was a couple at GAC for a while. There's a blue one.
Boss merch you can find.
There was a couple
at
GAC.
And they never come up on eBay.
There was a couple at GAC. There was a blue Chorus one and a DS1. No, an OD3 one as well.
I think they were the only two that we made, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, they never come up. I think last time I may have seen one on eBay once, and I think it went for like 50 quid.
What?
Pretty sure the ones at GAC, someone dropped them, the hand was broke, so we just put them in the bin.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Everyone's been asking for them, and we would love to do some more. Me and Jay, who obviously work with, are like, man, we should make some more mugs, just so we can have them on the desk of anything.
Hashtag make the mugs.
Everyone has been asking for the mugs, and yeah, we
still want that bed linen, mate.
Some more mugs.
BED1, the classic.
The BED1. I know. Once I get the bed covers, that's it.
You just need to quit at that point, Matt. You need to quit the industry because your dream, your lifelong dream of Boss bed covers, has been realised.
Didn't we? Doing some custom merch and managed to get Boss vinyls made. You would have thought I probably should have done the bed covers by now. But
Matt tell us about the bed covers idea in like episode 2 or 3 of the podcast?
I think it was like 5 years ago.
I think it's episode 1, yeah, of the GAC podcast. So yeah, 5 years ago. And now he's in a position where he can make them, and he's bottled it.
Yeah, no, I'm just biding my time. I'm waiting for the big reveal. You know, when we get like the big gig, you know, the big artist gig, and I'll be like, yeah, we've made you something very special.
BED1.
Or I'm just saving it for a future video.
Yes. I totally think you should do that. New exciting Boss product. You know, visit the social media at this time, and it's the BED1 bed covers.
Oh, that'd be so good.
The
or
dream.
Or just unveil a new pedal underneath the BED1 bed covers. I reckon we'd sell loads of them.
I reckon so as well. Some sad people in their bedrooms. Would you do a single bed or would you do a double bed?
No, you've got to do a double, really.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you're getting the right audience there.
It would be the BED1 and the BED30. Where it'd be 30.
Turbo bed covers.
I sleep in a guitar pedal. How do you sleep at night?
with that, we should wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for sticking with us. If you want to hear more, we're going to go and do another half an hour over at patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early, and $5 a month gets you the extra half an hour every week, and also access to exclusive interviews and mini-series like Joe Branton's Rant On. At $10 a month, you get your name mentioned every week at the end of the regular podcast by Joe Branton in a long list of people, and he has to do it in one breath. So the more we get, the harder it becomes, the funnier it becomes, and the closer to death Joe Branton gets, which can only be good for everyone.
I'd especially recommend anybody who's currently only on the $5 tier
to just bump up.
Just think about it. Yeah. You know, you're only on the $5 tier. Come on, we're your good old mates, and let's just think about how much fun it will be when Joe Branton has to say 100 names in one breath.
And also, I've noticed a few people who are on the $5 tier have got really long names. So if those people could add themselves to the $10, this will make this funnier.
I've had to stop bringing my 15-inch Mac instead of my 11, just so I can fit all the names on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Joey
2 Max. I see. Maybe that's an incentive for people not to pay any more into this podcast, because Joe's talking about having 2 laptops.
Well, one of them isn't yours, is
it? No, one of them's my girlfriend's.
Yeah, there we go.
She just started having a go at me that I was always bringing it here. So
I just zoom out.
Yeah. Oh, you can do that?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Rob Grill, Nate Nagel, Tucker Abaddon, Larry Goober, Henry James Baker, Christopher Rapson, Zane Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Mitchell, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Summer, Blake Wyler, Jake Gray, Christopher Lucas, Juan Correa, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, who's that guy? Derek Rich, Chris Connors, good old Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, my favorite, Carlos Manson, Steve Michael, Blair Thomas, Mark Cross, Brad Briggs, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, I know him, Laurie Anstis, Jack Godfrey, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Mo Gravett, Colin Anderson, I've read all the names again, I've still got breath left in me, that's right, you can keep trying, but you will never defeat me.
You look like you're actually about to die that time. Just the couple of extra people who have gone on there have made a massive difference. And so if we can get a couple more, I think actually you might not be able to make it
one week.
That
was harder.
Yeah, yeah, that looked real tough. If you want to join in the conversation, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds, Instagram @guitar nerds, and watch videos at youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Jay has just taken an excellent picture of Joe reading the names, and that will be up on the forum probably in the next 10 minutes or so.
Something like that.
Thanks so much for listening, and we will speak to you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Have I been a good boy? It's none of your business. Hope I get some cool toys. Can I get a witness?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.